and feel and know like a warm jacket, good food at a table of peace, the kindness of strangers, and that present under the tree that you have been hoping for quite some time. Hope. 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 Let's pray together. God, we pray to you today that you open your word to us and that you open our hearts to receive everything from you. In the name of Jesus, amen. On this first Sunday of Advent, Christians around the world are leaning into words of hope. And they're leaning into real words. They're not empty promises, but they are words of hope from the one true and living God who has given us reason today to put our hope actually in the Lord, in God's new creation that unfolds before our very eyes. Real words like hope and peace and joy and love. The book we know as 1 Corinthians in the Bible seems to have been written to a few Christians, not in the city of Corinth, to a group of Christians living in the port city of Corinth that was filled with a diverse array of people that goes beyond what you could even imagine. I mean, picture walking down the streets of Manhattan in New York City at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, if you've ever done that. You know, we talk about driving traffic here. This is shoulder to shoulder bumping into people, traffic. That's Corinth in the first century. And it is people from all over the world, at least the world as they knew it at the time. And then Paul writes letters to people who have to go home every single day, and they walk in the door, and the first thing they say is, "You can't believe what the traffic was like today." And then Paul writes them this. So hear this, and try to imagine what it would be like living in such a place. Here's what he said in the introduction. After all of the, you know, Paul called to be an apostle to the church at Corinth, this is how he starts a letter that we can hear today. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Before he gives the rest of the introduction, try to hear that. You, a recipient of grace. You, immersed in the peace of God that we know through Christ Jesus. And the thanksgiving. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in Him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By Him you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So from the top, try to receive that this morning. Grace from God. The peace of God. And then what is my all-time favorite introduction to the letters in the whole New Testament. This one's my favorite introduction today, you know. May change next week. But today, this is the best one. And here's why. At the very beginning of one of Paul's longest and most detailed letters, he says how grateful he is for the people to whom he is writing. Okay?
So picture that yourself. You know, I'll be Paul just for the sake of, you know, I'm the one up here talking. So I'll be Paul and I'll say, I'm giving thanks to God for you today. But did you hear why he said, I'm giving thanks to God for you today? This is one of the greatest kind of turns in, I'm so grateful for you. Has anybody ever told you that? Have you heard that lately from anyone? I'm really grateful for you. You know, if you haven't, you don't know, turn to the person sitting next to you and look them in the eyes and say, I'm really grateful for you. Doesn't that feel good? So I'm really great. I give thanks to God for you, but listen to why. Straight out of the Bible, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. Not, I give thanks to God for you because I really like, you know, what you did a year ago at this time, or I really like what you did for me, I like this. It's not transactional. And unfortunately, in a lot of the way that we measure relationships now, they're transactional. You know what I mean by that? You do this for me, I'll do this for you, everything's copacetic. It's not what's going on here. Listen again. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. I'm so grateful for you. I give thanks to God for you because of what God is doing in your life. This is different. This is different than the way that we usually think about giving thanks for one another or being thankful for one another. Paul is starting a letter to a diverse group of people going through all kinds of stuff in Corinth. And he says, I give thanks to God for you because of what God is doing in your life. This is another way of saying, I give thanks to God for you because when I look at you, I see the work of God. I give thanks to you because when I look at you, I see the work of God. And then he goes on to talk about being strengthened till the end of everything. But I think that's a good place to start, Advent. This is a good place to start this new year. On the Christian calendar, today is technically the first day of the year. This is the day that begins a new season. This is a season of anticipation. It's a season of looking forward, of looking, saying, God, what do you have in store for us? But it's also an opportunity for us to say to one another today, I give thanks to God for you because of what God is doing in your life. And then we can broaden that out to our entire church. We give thanks for one another because when we look around the room, we can see the work of God. Corinth was a real place. It was filled with real people who at the end of the day just wanted to lay their heads down, knowing that God was there and that God really cared. You ever feel that? You ever just lay your head down on the pillow and just, I want to know that God is there and I want to know that God actually cares. You ever felt that? You know what that feeling is called? It's called hope. It's hope. But this is the beauty of this season because it is about hope. It's about anticipation. It's about what God has yet to do in your life, shaping us all in the image and likeness of Christ. But moreover, what God has yet to do in your life and even in our life, in the body of our church, shaping us in the image and likeness of Christ. I've been reading poetry lately. I do this every few years. You know, I'll get on a poetry kick and read it for a while and other things will come up and distract me. But every once in a while, I just go through this season where I read a lot of poetry. And one of the reasons I think I've gotten so caught up in it lately is that poetry, if you pay really close attention to it, opens the world. It opens possibilities. It doesn't shut things down. So much of the rhetoric in our world right now is about shutting things down. It's about closing possibilities. It's about saying this is the end of this, this, and this. What poetry does is that it says no. There's still so much to come. It's about opening possibilities. Now, it's going to seem odd, especially given the kind of setup that I just did. It's going to seem odd to read a poem about the end of the world, especially on the first Sunday of Advent. And it's going to seem odd reading a poem about the end of the world, given that I just said it's about opening possibilities. But just bear with me. The world begins at a kitchen table. No matter what, we must eat to live. The gifts of earth are brought and prepared, set on the table. So it has been since creation, and it will go on. We chase chickens or dogs away from it. Babies teethe at the corners. They scrape their knees under it. It is here that children are given instructions on what it means to be human. We make men at it. We make women. At this table, we gossip, recall enemies and the ghosts of lovers. Our dreams drink coffee with us. As they put their arms around our children, they laugh with us at our poor falling down selves, and as we put ourselves back together once again at the table. This table has been a house in the rain, an umbrella in the sun. Wars have begun and ended at this table. It is a place to hide in the shadow of terror, a place to celebrate the terrible victory. We have given birth on this table and have prepared our parents for burial here. At this table, we sing with joy, with sorrow. We pray of suffering and remorse. We give thanks. Perhaps the world will end at the kitchen table while we are laughing and crying, eating of the last sweet bite. That was Perhaps the World Ends Here by Joy Harjo from her book, The Woman Who Fell from the Sky. Joy Harjo was the 23rd Poet Laureate of the United States. She was the first Native American ever named Poet Laureate of the United States in 2019. Her poem captures the beauty of the ordinary, where everyday life happens at a place like the kitchen table, because that's where hope actually happens. That's where hope takes place the most. Hope hits you like a ton of bricks while you're mowing the yard. Hope reminds you of itself while you're doing those dishes in the sink that seem to almost sinisterly reproduce like a herd of rabbits. Hope calls to you in your sleep, even waking you up, reminding you that no matter what, the promises of God last longer than our momentary concerns. So, spend this week at your places of hope, looking with eyes that see, listening with ears that hear. Look for places where hope makes the most sense, where babies teethe at the corners of tables of everyday existence. where children and adults together learn what it means to treat people like people. We will seek shelter from the rain. We will seek shade from the sun. We will sing the testimony of Christ. And believe it or not, I so dare you to hope, believe it or not, even you and me can still be made blameless on the day of Christ. God is faithful. By God, you are called into the fellowship of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. These real, substantive words are worthy of your hope today. They're worthy of your hope this week. Even build your life today, this week. And let us build our church anew this year around this promise of hope. Amen.